Hello, everyone. It's Steven here, host of the Charity Charge podcast. I have another awesome guest seated across from me. Today, we have Matt Stevenson. He's the executive director and co-founder of Code to College, which is based here in Austin, Texas. Matt, thank you so much for coming in the studio.
Thanks for having me, sir.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that we were just kind of riffing on a little bit before we hit the record button. I think it's just really cool to obviously connect with you in this way. I know we had run into each other at the PhilanthroPitch event. And it's, we just got a nice small but growing nonprofit community here in Austin. And small, I think I say by like the intimacy of people. Obviously, there's a lot of organizations. Just curious, could you share just for the listeners that are on a little bit about Code to College and your inspiration to start it?
Sure. Thanks again for having me, Stephen. So Code to College, we're an Austin-based nonprofit. And our focus is to dramatically increase the number of minority and low-income high school students who enter and excel in STEM undergraduate majors and careers. Essentially, we activate tech professionals and bring them together with high school students who are interested in technical fields by delivering about 60 hours of after-school coding education. They go to classes at their campuses twice a week, every week throughout the school year. We also hold monthly professional skills workshops where they're developing their professional skills, doing things like building their first resumes, doing technical and adaptive interview prep. And then finally, we place a number of the students into paid summer internships. That has grown from just two internships 3 years ago to just about 40 this past summer. And we're growing to about 100 high school interns placed this upcoming summer. And happy to jump into the inspiration, but there's a lot there.
No, I can imagine. I mean, even in looking at your background, I'm kind of going back through some of your previous, engagements and stuff, but I know you were the director of finance at KIPP, the Austin Public Schools here, and a partner in the New Schools Venture Fund. So can you kind of take us back like a little bit earlier in your career, like what you were learning and seeing with respect to, education and then some of the inspiration of how you realized like the coding aspect?
Sure, absolutely. So I'll go a little bit farther back or maybe a lot farther back. But in college, I was majoring in finance and information systems. And this was way back when coding wasn't sexy yet. And I swore up and down that there was no way that I was going to become a software developer. But I was making a lot of extra money on the side and it helped me pay for school. And I knew that there were super low barriers to entry to coding. And I also saw that there were a lot of opportunities that could be had for students who traditionally did not have access to technical careers and to coding. And so I'll fast forward a bit, but after a career in finance, I went to business school to figure out how to make these opportunities accessible to minority and low-income high school students, but to do so in a fairly low-cost way. And about 4 years ago, my wife and I, we co-founded Code to College as a nonprofit, and we've been growing pretty exponentially ever since.
You know, I'm always trying to also look for, as I was saying, prior to this, like, I think that every person, especially in the nonprofit space, has such unique experience and insights. And I'm always trying to, initially kind of talk to them before I was looking at LinkedIn and trying to pull it out. I think that is something that I would like to explore is, can you talk about the process of starting a nonprofit with a spouse? I mean, you're even, chuckling there, but like, kind of if you could go back, I guess, what are some of the things that have been great about it? And what are some of the things you maybe would do differently?
Are you trying to get me into trouble?
No. Let's just hypothetical here. And we don't have to, but I think it's like, I think a lot about, and of course, I'm sure it happens a lot of times and I don't mean to be ignorant at all of the fact, but, I'll see occasionally like on Shark Tank, spouses that own a business together and you see that quite a bit, but candidly, this is the first time that I've been with someone that started a nonprofit with their spouse. I think that's really interesting. So let me even put it out there. Like, do you find this rare? I mean, do you see this? I mean, sometimes when you're the target market, you're more, aware of what's happening, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I don't know of a ton. What I can say is that it's been a blessing and it can be challenging, of course, because you're essentially taking your work home with you. And there's a lot to talk about, and you have to be really intentional about talking about everything else. I will also say that my wife was about 4 or 5 months pregnant when we launched Code to College, and we already had our daughter. And so there was a lot going on. But she's a lawyer by trade. And so between her expertise and my background in both finance and K-12 education and nonprofit program management, we were kind of unstoppable. Also, I'm way more risk friendly than she is, and she is absolutely risk adverse. So the lawyer in her was, I wouldn't even say it came out. It was always there. And so, I think it was a great balance for the organization, not to mention the fact that she was able to source our first pro bono counsel, and she did a ton of the administrative work to get us set up. And thanks to her, we got our 501c3 in less than 3 months. So, which still to my knowledge is a record for any nonprofits I'm aware of. So yeah, it's been great.
Well, I also think what you're probably bringing up there too is having, you know, whoever that co-founder is, a good balance, right, of their skill set versus yours, and their, I think both probably from a tangible, tactical, like legitimate skill set level, but also from their kind of emotional skill set, right? Mm-hmm. And I think having that balancing act can be really good. Mm-hmm. It seems that's what you found. I mean, do you?
Yeah, it was great, and just happened to live with her, so.
No, that's wonderful. Can you talk about with us, you know, I know that you're now about 3 years into starting Code to College. What have been, when you think about kind of the macro trends of when you started, from when you first got, you know, the 501c3 open legally to now, what have been some of the progressions? And I'm really curious. I think that I find that a lot of people that are starting nonprofits are overwhelmed, right? In terms of like, what's the first step and how do we progress here? I'm just curious, as you think about the past few years, like, did you have an overarching strategy or goal year to year? What kind of like reflections would you have over these past 3 years?
Sure. So I think it's really important to start out with a pretty big vision. You know, I from the beginning was focused on making an organization that would be sustainable and highly scalable and that would reach students nationwide. And I shared that vision with a lot of folks, and people poked holes, people shared insights, et cetera. But having that North Star of this is something really important that you want to accomplish, I would say is key. And of course, the strategies will change, the tactics always will change as you continue to collect data, but having that bold vision is really important. And now it's coming to fruition. You know, I said that we want to bring a few volunteers together with a few high school students, and let's see where it goes. We now have dozens of those high school students who went through our program over the first 3 years. They're now in college. A lot of them are pursuing computer science. Many of them have secured scholarships and internships through our program, and they are not as likely or at risk to suffer that imposter syndrome or, you know, I don't know if this is right for me, because they've been exposed to this for years throughout high school through our program.
Do you have other peers that, you know, are running nonprofits? I mean, as kind of, I'm just thinking, you know, your first few years in, obviously you had a lot of experience working at nonprofits. And as you mentioned before, your wife brought a lot of experience, but are you finding like other peers in Austin that you're able to relate to and kind of share best practices and kind of learn from their challenges as well?
There are a few folks who, you know, if you were to look up my Fave 5 on text messages, I'm uh-huh. reaching out to them quite a bit because they've been doing it a little bit longer, or their organizations are aligned and we're facing the same challenges. And one of the things that I love about Austin's nonprofit ecosystem is that folks are just incredibly generous with time and expertise and very collaborative. It's been great.
I tend to find that a lot, you know, just in general in Austin. I think though that sometimes we can just get, you know, I've experienced this as the, just kind of the founder. So in my lane, mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to pull yourself out and get perspective to realize that the blocking and tackling, so to speak, is the same. Obviously, you'll have a different mission and I have a different mission in what I'm doing with Charity Charge, but a lot of the fundamentals are very similar to the same. And that's even, it's interesting too, because I mean, we're running a public benefit corporation, you're running a nonprofit 501c3. But I mean, at the end of the day, many of the minutia is really the same. Mm-hmm. So just really kind of interesting. I'm curious also like to ask you, because I know like in previous role, for example, you know, when you were director of finance at KIPP, can you think back to that role? I'm trying to get perspective to people that are listening that maybe are working at a nonprofit, but considering venturing out. What are some of the things that you think have been surprising to you now running the nonprofit, or, you know, what you were doing kind of a day-to-day, week-to-week level as the executive director versus when you're the employee at the nonprofit?
Yeah. So I think, and I would say this spans whether you're talking about nonprofit, private, whatever the legal entity status is, but I think there is a perception when you're an employee that the person at the top is just that they're engaged in a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And that when you're an executive director, there's a ton of business development. You know, up until this past July, I was the only full-time employee of Code to College. So 3 years as the only one doing everything. And that's from curriculum development to business development and sourcing new internship opportunities to submitting grant applications, doing the finance and operations. And I think when I've been at other nonprofits, employees tend to see the work of an executive director or someone else in senior management of just going to meetings or just meeting with people. And it's a lot of fun. And it's like, you actually are the one who's responsible for keeping the business afloat.
Yes. Yeah, totally. I mean, I would say that your progression is not too dissimilar from mine. And I think that with you saying that, I think it's great to give some context of kind of the yin and the yang of, so to speak, leaderships like CEO, executive director, versus people that are in employee roles. I think that what I've had to also really appreciate, like one of my bigger lessons was just respecting that nobody will, and I mean this respectfully, but like it's impossible that anyone would care more about Charity Charge than I do. Mm-hmm. And so when you have an employee that likely in their own mind is super thrilled and excited about or whatever, you know, if I'm at a 10, the highest they're ever going to be is, you know, a 9, and if I'm lucky at like a 7, right?
If you're lucky.
And then you realize that they have all these other obligations and stuff in life. I mean, I was even today just reflecting, a lot of my staff too is also part-time and remote as well. You know, something came up and I was just trying to internalize it first. And in my mind at first, I went to this mode of like, why do they not know about this? Like, how is this not already solved? And then I literally just put myself in their shoes and I'm like, oh, because they're juggling all this other stuff and they got life and everything, you know? And then this is like, you know, as the founder, we're caught very much in, you know, it's our baby, you know, and we see it from a full, like 360 degree perspective, which sometimes, you know, that's bad too. I mean, I think it's important, you know, to have mentors and external people that they can give it to you, but that's kind of my riff on,
I think that,
the challenge.
And I think that's fair. I think one thing that I've tried to do a better job of, or try to make an improvement of relative to other managers that I've had, is ensure that I have really open dialogue with the team. So for instance, if there's a fire drill, it can't just be the what, like, this is what I need you to do, but rather like it's accompanied with the why. Mm-hmm. Like, here's what's going on. So for instance, I shared something recently, I said, we're courting this funder. And so in a month, we're going to have, like, this is what's going to happen. And it's really important to hit X, Y, and Z goals. So this is the prep that we need to do. And so it's going to be pretty intense for the next month. But also so that they have, it's almost like, I can't give them equity. But like that essentially is that information becomes the equity.
For sure. Right? For sure. No, I mean, I think that I'm constantly kind of learning that as well, right? It's important. And I think very much so for what I'm doing and you're doing, it's complete, just what you said there. I mean, it's completely mission focused, right? And so I think I would say that, I think that's really part of what I actually see some nonprofits do a great job and others don't, which is generally speaking, I mean, there's a reason that someone is choosing to be an employee at a nonprofit and an employee at your nonprofit, mm-hmm. right? And so to direct them in a way that doesn't give context to the bigger picture, like I love how you started by saying, well, we had this really bold vision. I think it's really important to do that. I think you, which is wonderful, I'm seeing from you, is communicating that vision to people, even on the micro scale of like why we're going to do something, mm-hmm. Is how you're going to get the best out of people. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's kind of, it's always like unique to me to see the nuances. Cause I started this before. I think that there's a lot of similarities, businesses to nonprofits, and there's a lot of things that are completely different, about the, some of the more, I would say, qualitative side of things and the kind of the psychographics of the person that is so, you know, invested in making a difference that they're working at a nonprofit versus a for-profit. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's kind of interesting. Have you just with that, I'm curious, you know, what, as you've thought about like your career, and you've, you know, worked alongside other people, like what are some of the things that you've seen that are making good employees at, you know, nonprofits? And what are you looking for when you're looking to hire someone or have someone part-time or helping you out? What are kind of the qualities that you look at, you know, as an executive director?
So, resourcefulness and flexibility and attitude are three of the things that come to mind like immediately. And when I think about, so I'll talk about each of them really quickly, but resourcefulness, you talked about being scrappy earlier. Mm-hmm. And again, irrespective of legal entity, whether you're talking about private or nonprofit, you have to be resourceful. And I've had part-time employees who said, and this was the earlier days when we were living like month to month as an organization, said, we're going to host this event. We need food. Like, what are you going to do? And they were calling up HEB. They were calling up Whole Foods and they just made it happen. Right. It wasn't yikes. We're not going to be, it wasn't a sort of a litany of excuses and we're less than 30 days out. So it's hard to get donations, but rather let's figure this out. I'd say flexibility. Again, things change. It's not the intent that things change last minute, but sometimes they just do. And people who just roll with it and they're committed to reaching that goal, whatever it might be. And then finally, just attitude. Someone who embraces the hard times. and you know, I've often worked with people who sort of laugh at it and they're like, again, they want to get the ball past the goal line. And they're going to do it with a smile. And I think that makes a difference not only for them individually, but also the team. And I would say that those are the people that I absolutely look for to join our team.
I think those are all pretty valuable, you know, things to think about and do. And I think both from the perspective, you know, I'm thinking through someone that's listening that's starting a nonprofit or candidly is looking to work for a nonprofit or, you know, kind of rise up the ranks. So I appreciate you sharing that. I want to shift back a bit, you know, to the organization itself, Code to College, and talk about kind of your mission and your work. I think that, you know, kind of on the front end of this interview, obviously you had shared about the mission itself and what you're doing. What I'm curious about is, you know, with the mission that you have outlined there, and I'm even on your website right now, you know, making Central Texas the nation's capital for diverse homegrown technical talent, that to me screams of a huge value proposition for employers and just kind of the municipalities in Austin and everything. So just curious, you know, this many years in, I know you have some corporate partners that are listed on your website. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with tech companies and how maybe if you see that growing and kind of how what you're doing is creating a value add really for two sides, obviously for the individuals themselves, but very much so for the community. And I think other people that, you know, there are a lot of stakeholders that can win when you create more value for Central Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a whole suite of ways that, that companies can engage with us, ranging from allowing me to come in to recruit volunteers. The two main ways that we engage with volunteers are to either serve as an instructor, delivering our curriculum after school, or as a mentor, working with students as they explore these different companies and build these professional skills during those Saturday workshops. And so volunteer recruitment is honestly the easiest ask. Another way is to host us for a workshop where we have our students come in and over 4 to 5 hours on a Saturday, they get to learn more about your company. They build that skill. They even get involved in a competitive case study.
Nice.
In fact, this past Saturday, we were at Retail Me Not. This was the third workshop where they've hosted us. And this Saturday will be at Kasasa. Actually, this year, we'll have the most professional skills workshop ever, 18 over the course of the program year. They can also host our interns, which frankly is for us the crown jewel. But basically, over 8 to 12 weeks, they can host one of our summer interns. It's paid and it's always technical. The majority of our interns work within software engineering. I will tell you as a fun fact, at least half of their work goes into production. And so they are doing mission critical work and value add work for these organizations. And for the past three summers, we've had about 100% return offer rate. So the companies have asked to see these high school interns back in those following summers. How is this growing? Well, now these high school students who have gone through our program are going to college. And so the talent that these companies would have been seeking already, they've already invested in them at an early stage. They've built up this incredible relational capital with them because they've said, I know you're in high school, but I know that you're worth it and you can do this. And they keep coming back year after year, but now they're their undergraduate talent. And for them to convert to a full-time employee, I mean, think about that. Any company being able to say this person's been with us for about anywhere from 4 to 6 summers, and now they're an FTE, it's huge. Great, great ROI.
That's what I see for you. And I think it's such a smart, you know, kind of value proposition, obviously for both sides. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. I'm curious, did you, and you know, for people that are thinking, a lot of times there's always two sides that kind of that every company has, right? In the sense of you got the supply side and the demand side. And you think about like who are your stakeholders that can win when you win. I think very much so. Obviously, you're serving these students, but then you're also creating a ton of value for the end employer. Yeah. So, curious, did you see that pretty quickly? Like prior to even starting it, did that kind of make sense to you?
Absolutely, especially in a place like Austin, where you know, great city, but from a tech talent perspective, this is not a major destination. You know, this is not SF, this is not New York. And what that means is, and this is both anecdotal and empirical, we know that tech talent stays here in a role for anywhere from 1 to 2 years before moving on to the next role, whether it's still within Austin or to another location. And so it's kind of a no-brainer that you would want to recruit somebody who is from Austin, who's more likely to stay in Austin and will build their network here. And so I've essentially delivered that value prop in that way, and companies agree. I think the biggest hurdle to get over is the high school, because internships have historically been used as a conversion tool. And so letting them know that this isn't about conversion or that transaction, but rather an investment you're making in the overall ecosystem.
And what, just curious, I mean, as you're doing this, because what I think I really love about what you just said there was your insight prior to starting it of what, you know, the value proposition could be or would be. And also like the source of, you know, funding capital for growth as you're creating value for these companies. When you kind of break down your funding sources, like what percent, you'd mentioned grants before, like what kind of would the breakdown be? And, does that strategy make sense? Or as you're now growing, do you see your funding sources being diversified in different ways?
Sure. So we have a significant portion of our revenue that comes from earned revenue. We also secure corporate and foundation grants when possible. And then finally, individual donations. As a matter of fact, it's October. This is our annual fundraising push. So if you're interested, you should donate to us. But if you're hearing this outside of October, that's okay. You can still donate.
Oh, we can push this out in October. No, that's great. You know, I also was going to kind of get to that. I mean, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that for a sec then. So just how can people find you first and foremost?
Sure. You can find us at code2college.org online. You should also absolutely check us out on Instagram. As a matter of fact, today, Tuesday.
I just followed you.
You followed me?
Yeah,
thank
you,
sir.
That's what I was doing behind here. You know, you couldn't see the screen, but I just did that proactively.
I figured you were. In fact, after this, you should check out our Instagram. One of our college-going alumni, Marlene, she's doing an Instagram takeover today. She is a freshman.
Oh, I'm on there right now. I'm looking at it.
There you go. She's a freshman at Georgetown University in D.C., and she's majoring in computer science.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What a creative way to do it. And then talk to us about the fundraising that you're doing this month.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're working to raise $30,000, and this is explicitly for $300 scholarships for 100 college-going alumni of ours. And so this is all focused on textbooks. We're looking to give all of those college-going alumni some support as they pay for their books. Not all of our students are fortunate enough to secure those internships, so we want to ensure that they have what they need so that they can attend classes, be successful, and graduate.
That's amazing. And again, for anyone listening, we'll put it in the show notes and everything, but just say that URL. It's code2college.org, the number two. So code2college.org. So this was just awesome. I really appreciate you spending some time to come down to our studio and really just get to riff kind of one-on-one, Matt. But again, everyone, this was Matt Stevenson, executive director and co-founder at Code2 College.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care.